Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
To the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Name calling didn't just start this election cycle. It was happening way back then. You were called uncircumcision. Remember, that's what David offered as an ultimate insult to Goliath, you uncircumcised Philistine. Name-calling's always been around, I guess. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, blood privilege. I like privilege. What is privilege? When you're sitting, looking at an endless line of cars, and you know it's going to be 10 minutes where you can get nosed out. And some dear soul, for whatever reason, they don't even know you. They blink their lights and hesitate, and you dart out into the traffic, and you're on your way. That's privilege. It's when somebody lets you in ahead of time, lets you break the line. Privilege is a wonderful thing. Privilege, it means a right. Immunity or benefit enjoyed only by a person beyond the advantage of most, the privilege of the very rich. They talk about white privilege. I'm going to tell you, green privilege is better than white privilege. When you got money, people don't care what color you are. I can tell you that. Privilege is Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done and causing a worldwide stir. I thought Nancy needed her hair done the last time I saw her, so I didn't have a problem with it. What I don't understand is when you got $120 million, which she's rumored to have, why you don't just have somebody quietly come to your home and do your hair. I don't understand that. Politicians are not only strange, they're unwise. They cause so many of their own problems. To deny that there is a variety of privilege in this world is to be naive at best, dishonest at worst. In fact, the Bible acknowledges that privilege has always been a way of life. Not that God designed it to be that way, but that's just the way humanity has tumbled down. The Bible acknowledges the existence of privilege. Jesus underscored the inevitability of privilege and the lack of privilege when he declared, "The poor you have with you always." That's always been a verse I didn't like. So I like every verse in the Bible. You hadn't read all of them. There's lots of verses in the Bible I don't like. There's lots of verses in the Bible that you shouldn't like. And they're in the Bible so you can look at them and avoid that thing that would cause that verse to come to pass in your life. And so Jesus said there is privilege and there's a lack of privilege. And the poor you have with you always. The psalmist David admitted or even boasted of his privilege when he announced, "He loadeth his benefits on me daily." That's a boast of privilege. I seek not the privilege of race, social standing, or educational superiority. They're good, but they are too brief. I seek the privilege of a higher calling. There are a lot of underprivileged people in this world. Those that are deprived of education, those that are deprived economically, those that are deprived of position in society. They are represented in the Bible by a host of characters. They're represented in the Bible by Jacob just because the order of his birth. He just wasn't born first. And because of that, he was a subject of underprivilege. But you'll notice that he did not stay there. He represents all of us that were not born to privilege, all of us that were born on the wrong side of the track. We not only didn't have a silver spoon in our mouth, we didn't have a plastic spoon in our hand. We were tough. Jacob represents all of us that were born at the wrong place at the wrong time. But he said, I'm simply not going to take it anymore. He was the first one that said, I refuse to sit in the back of the bus. There is in the Bible an underlying story that is whatever life deals you, you don't have to take it and you don't have to stay there. The prodigal, he represents all that have had privilege and lost it for whatever reason, because somebody, because of an elder brother that made life miserable at home, because of their unbridled appetites, bad decisions, a choice of fake friends, all of those things lend themselves to becoming a prodigal. But he represents those people that were privileged for some reason has slipped away. The one lost sheep, he represents the child left behind in a society that boasts no child left behind. And children are being left behind every day. Those that never intended to be a social dropout, but they just couldn't keep up. Society moved on without them. Those without privilege are represented by the Syrophoenician woman that simply didn't have privilege because she was not of the prevailing race. There was another race that was predominant, and so she was left out. All examples of being underprivileged. The text said we are branded by label. It's terrible when you are labeled and you accept that label. I told you about my friend Lawrence Bishop had a young man in his church, and they called him Goon. It was a terrible nickname. And Goon, he just went along with it. He dumbed himself down. Wasn't anything wrong with him mentally. But he just took that assignment and said, I'll be Goon. And his mother came to Pastor Bishop and said, please don't call my son Goon. His name is, I don't remember, Robert, I think. They call him by his name. And so Brother Bishop said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. So there was a few girls visiting from another church, and so Brother Bishop introduced Goon to these young girls about his ages, Robert, whatever his name was, I think it was Robert, and said he had a cap on backwards, and he pulled that cap off, and he said, I'm not Robert, I'm Goon. He had accepted the label because he called it, because others call himself Goon, he called himself Goon, and he acted like Goon. It shaped his life. And so the text said we're branded by label. You need to discount the labels that people put on you. You're not what people say you are. If you will subscribe to the Word of God, you're what God created you to be. So the racist title, it was a racist title, the uncircumcised. You're not an Israelite. You're not one of God's favor. You're without. What David called Goliath, an uncircumcised Philistine. Or simply just be called a Gentile. I was praying with Grady Stebbins, a boy that was raised here in San Antonio with privilege. His father was a major real estate man here in the city of San Antonio. And when I was a young man, he was in the University of Texas, and Grady came to one of our revival services. It was quite a story. He had part of the hippie scene. He had denounced his family and renounced their wealth and their privilege, and he came that night with a girl named Moment. I never will forget that couple. And so they sat in the back, and when I got through preaching, Grady got up and came forward. He had on a pair of bib overalls. I remember he was raised wealthy circumstance here in San Antonio, but he had on a pair of bib overalls and no shirt under the bib overalls and a pair of cowboy boots that he had spray painted white for some unknown reason, just because he was a hippie. And he was sitting with his girlfriend named Moment. And Moment didn't come that night, but Grady came, and the very first time he's ever in a gospel church, he got gloriously saved, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. an amazing man. But I never will forget hearing him pray one night in the prayer room before service. I was praying with him. And I never had heard the prayer before, but it was so profound. Grady was a very highly educated, highly intelligent hippie. And he understood the scripture very clearly when he got saved because his mind was so good. But I heard him pray that night. He said, God, forgive me. I'm such a Gentile. To most people, they didn't even know what he was praying, but I knew exactly what he was saying. He understood the scripture. He understood that he was born with privilege in this country, but without privilege in the kingdom of God. But when he got saved, he now had privilege, and he had, as the Apostle Paul said, that tendency to, when he should be strong, to be weak, and when he should do good, to go back to being a Gentile. And so his prayer was, God, help me. I'm such a Gentile. This is really not part of the story, but I can't stop without mentioning his name, without telling him the story. And he became a great preacher, Grady did. He died very, very young here in San Antonio. His mother came as a result, was in our church when he first started, and was a dear soul. She's in heaven now. But that night when he got saved, his girlfriend, which also highly educated from a family of privilege, she wouldn't come. And she finally came down and tried to drag him out of the altar. Grady, these people are crazy. He was highly educated. And Grady wouldn't go with her, and she left that building that night. She went to the tower in Austin, Texas, at the university. They lighted up when they went. She stepped at that tower. In those days, they didn't have the safeguards they got now. She took off her little sandals and wrote a little note, and then she stepped off into eternity and splattered beneath, and we left that service and went with the police and saw them gather up her remains as best they could. And then when we read the note, it said, walk a mile in these shoes. And she's one of the people that haunt me. I should have preached better. I got Grady saved, but I missed her. I should have preached better that night. Somehow I missed her. But we simply talk about labels, the uncircumcised, the Gentile, to be blessed by privilege. We all seek privilege. That's what every march is about. When people are marching, they're saying, hey, we're sick and tired of this. They're privileged and we're not. We're marching to get privilege. We're protesting to get privilege. Well, Jesus came to right the wrong. Jesus came to give us privilege. He didn't call it privilege. He called it abundant life, but it's the same thing. Jesus reaches out to every Jacob born on the wrong side of the track, to every prodigal who has lost their place at the table, to every lost sheep that is not one of the 99, but has been discounted and discarded, but has been thrown away, to every Cyrenian who has suffered injustice because of race, to all that have been falsely labeled, Jesus comes and appeals, come unto me, all of ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's whosoever, all that are far off. It's anybody and everybody. Whosoever will, but our will must match Jesus' will. His will is for us to be privileged and to be saved, but we must have the same will for ourselves. The Bible says the entire world. The devil would blind us with a lie that is just for some. It's not for some. It's for everybody. God so loved the world. Some would believe that Jesus was only the white man's God. Not so. All races, all colors. I heard a man on TV say that Jesus is the white man's God. And on that basis, I reject him. Megyn Kelly on Fox News. Highly educated. I don't care how educated you are, you can be ignorant in certain areas and have educational gaps. Megyn Kelly said, Santa Claus and Jesus Christ are both white. Just accept it. The truth is, she's absolutely wrong. She said Jesus was a white man. He's a historical figure, and that is a fact. He is a white man. She said Santa Claus is white. First place, Santa Claus is fictitious. You can make him any color that you want. But the truth is, Santa Claus did have an origination. He can be traced back. He's traced back to the real-life monk named Saint Nicholas, who lived in what is today Turkey. And so he wasn't white at all. He was very, very dark. And yet, the ignorance says he is white. Jesus Christ was born to a Jewish family around that which is now Israel. His race has long been debated. Several scholars say he looked like what modern-day people of Middle Eastern descent would look like today. Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't look much like me, but he's still my Savior. In fact, the only way I could look less like Jesus would be to have blonde hair. He looks about as different from me as one human can from another. What did Jesus look like? The Bible said, believe this or not, when God was forming Christ, believe this or not, he was not particularly handsome or desirable, the Bible said. The Bible said in Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, I watch television, I see some handsome guy. I say, well, I wish I looked like him. But the Bible is saying, if you saw Christ, he was not handsome enough that you would covet his appearance. God could have made him as handsome as he wanted to, but he said, let's just make him very, very normal. And I can tell you that he was normal looking. I'll show you and prove that in just a moment. He was not white-skinned or blue-eyed, and he did not have blonde hair. What does the Bible really say? The Bible offers us few clear clues about Christ's physical appearance, but it does offer us a few. It tells us when they came to take Jesus to try him and to crucify him, they had to ask Judas Iscariot which one he was, because he was not significant in appearance that he stood out from all the other Palestinian Israelis there. He was just one more black-haired, dark-skinned, brown-eyed man. Jesus was very dark-skinned, had very dark hair, and had brown eyes. But there is a thought that for some reason, when you look at the paintings, somebody gave me a painting, and I have it because they gave it to me, and it's supposed to be valuable. It's of Jesus, and his hair is relatively light, and his eyes are blue. Simply not true. Not true. Something that somebody wanted to be true. But Jesus was so average looking as a Palestinian, he had to be pointed out by Judas Iscariot. He would have had very dark skin as a Palestinian man and dark hair. But I don't care. Jesus does not have to look like me to save me. He came as a man. And the Bible teaches us that I am not saved because Jesus was a white man, because he was not. I am saved because he was sinless and he shed his precious blood for one purpose, and that was to give me privilege. That's what it means to get saved, is you now have privilege. You're taken out of the human race. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're now the exception to the rule. You are now privileged just because Jesus Christ has died and shed his blood for you. What blood privilege? You know, in this world, privilege comes because of who you know. I told a sinner this a while back. I said, you know, it's who you know. If you know someone that's rich, you know someone that's famous, you know someone that's got great power, it opens doors for you. And I said, and you know when you die is the same way. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you know Jesus when you die, the door is open. Otherwise, it's shut. Jesus gives me tremendous privilege. It's blood privilege. He came and preached peace to me when I had no peace. I was afar off, And the Bible said he drew me nigh. I had no way to get in, but through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Friend, Jesus has one goal, and that is to save every human being on the face of the earth. That will not happen because their will does not match his will. He's not willing that any should perish, but they are willing to perish. But he doesn't care who you are. The Bible said in Revelation 7 and 9, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Oh, what a description of the people that have experienced the blood privilege. Of all nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues. It doesn't matter where they came from. It doesn't matter about their pigmentation. It doesn't matter about their nationality. Jesus Christ came for the whole world. And the only thing that can happen to you that will give you privilege forever is to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My affinity is not to people that look like me, not of people of English and German descent. My affinity is with people that I look at and say, that's one of my people, because they have been washed in the blood. And now we are part of the great army, the great nation, the great race. You can argue about black power, white supremacy, whatever you want to talk about, friend. I want to tell you the dominant force in this world is people from all kindreds and all tongues and all nations that have been born again, have been saved, and been washed in the red blood of Jesus Christ. What is missing in this description of this multitude is a particular race. What is missing is a particular gender. The Bible said not male nor female, doesn't matter anymore. There is an equality in Christ that you will find nowhere else in the world. The Bible tells us the church started like this in Acts 2:5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. For this promise is unto you, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus' prayer was this, that black, white, brown, yellow, and red would be one, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ is the common denominator. And friend, I want to tell you, he did not come for one person. He came for all people. He didn't come for one race. He came for all races. And you can assign to him whatever pigmentation and nationality you want to, but it simply doesn't matter because he doesn't make a difference. He is the love of God and the grace of God manifest that said, whosoever will, let him come, and I will make you a set apart people, a called out people, a people that do not endure what other people endure and possess what other people can never possess. Friend, the greatest decision I ever made, not just because when I die, I'm going to heaven, but because of my daily life, the greatest decision I ever made is when I decided to make Jesus Christ my Savior and to be washed in His blood, because it no longer mattered about my insecurities, my inadequacies, or my failures. Suddenly, I became a superstar in the economy of Almighty God. And God not only said, He is my favored son, He turned to every angel in heaven, and that's the reason why there is joy there. And He said, my assignment to you is to make his life better every day, to bless him coming in and going out, to drag down the middle wall of partition. He that was on the outside is now on the inside. He that was barred from the holiest of holies can now come to the throne of grace boldly. Oh, what it means to have blood privilege, to realize that you are now the center of God's affection, that God's love is directed to you without any kind of inhibition. God simply loves you, and he said, every day of my life I will pray for you, Christ said. I will intercede for you. Every morning I will make sure that my mercies are new for you. Every day I will recover you in my blood. You know, you used to be Gentiles. You're not a Gentile anymore. You said, I'm a Gentile. Oh, no, you're not. You're a blood-washed son of God. You are a descendant of Abraham. Every promise that was given to the friend of God by the name of Abraham, I mean that promise of restoration that it could take an old man and an old woman and make them productive. Every promise that Abraham was given is now directed to you because you are no longer a Gentile. You used to be called a Gentile. You used to be called uncircumcised, but you have experienced the circumcision of the heart. And that's the reason why I reject the charismatic doctrine that you are living under a generational curse just because your daddy had it or your grandmother had it. I reject that with everything that is in me because the Bible said you are born again. You might have some kind of a psychological idea that has been planted there by some preacher that you still have the curse of your grandparents, but that is diametrically opposed to what the Scripture has said. Because when you become born again, you are a new creation. You are a new creature. That means you don't have to have the same physical maladies your daddy had. You don't have to have a weak heart. You don't have to have the same spiritual sins your uncle had. You do not have to have a disproportionate addiction to alcohol. Why? You've been born again. And you're now living under the blood privilege, which makes you what? A new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You do not have to bring into this world all the baggage of your past and your failures and the failures of your family and your society. You can stand up and say, praise God. I am new. I am a new man. There's a new man walking in these shoes, and I have blood privilege. That means every day of my life, I can get up on my feet, look in the mirror as I brush my teeth, and say, this is going to be a good day. No matter what weapons formed against me, it will be a dud. It simply will not come to fruition. No matter how many enemies come against me, they leave seven times bigger than they came because God is going to divide them. Hallelujah! Why? I'm washed in the blood. I've experienced blood privilege. The Father is on my side. The Son is on my side. The Holy Spirit is on my side. Every angel in and out of heaven is on my side. I get up expecting people to do things for me, not because they want to, but they simply have no more choice because the thumb of God gets on them and says, give unto him. I will cause men to give unto your bosom. It won't be their choice. It will be the choice of the blood privilege that I exist in every day of my life. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the first and not the last. I don't get the leftovers. I get the fresh fruit, praise God, because the Lord is my God. You know, you were Gentiles, carried away under the dumb idols, even as you were led. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. That's who I am. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. One name, one family, one race, one blood, blood privilege. Hallelujah. I was out, but now I'm in. I was lost, but now I'm saved. I was blind, but now I got 20/20 vision. I was uncircumcised, but now my heart has been circumcised. There was a partition, but now the partition is gone. I was far off, but now I'm near. I was nameless, but now I've got a name that every devil fears and every angel reveres. Praise God. I had no promise, and now I've got every promise of Abraham. I say, I am living a blood-privileged life, and I'm so happy about it. Can you stand on your feet and lift your hands and give your love to Jesus Christ? Somebody said racism is worse today in America than it's ever been. It's not worse, it's just exposed. And the only cure for racism is a revelation of what I'm talking to you about today. When you realize that we are all one in Christ, washed by His blood. It doesn't matter if your hair is red, black, or blonde. It doesn't matter whether your skin is dark or light. It doesn't matter whether you're an albino or you've got lots of pigmentation. It simply does not matter. The only thing that really matters is, are you covered in the blood of Jesus Christ? That's the reason why I oppose everybody that opposes mixed marriage in the church. Because now there is no race except the race of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. We are one people, praise God. You ought to get up every morning not thanking God that you're African American or German. You ought to get up every morning saying, thank God I am washed in the blood from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. That means no demon can trample me. That means no enemy can destroy me, because God is greater. I am under the blood privilege of Jesus Christ. My life is going to be abundant. My life is going to be blessed. My life is going to be full. There's going to be an outpouring in my life. I'm going to be promoted above the Gentiles. I'm going to be favored above the heathen, because I am what God called me to be and who God said I am. You can't call me uncircumcised. You can't call me a Gentile. You've got to call me by the name of the whole family under heaven and on earth is named, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Friend, when you get the revelation that I'm talking to you about right now, you simply won't take no for the answer. You refuse to sit in the back of the bus. You got to know who I am. I'm a child of the living God, created in His image, washed in His blood. Hallelujah. And God has given me everything. And He said, no good thing will I withhold from you. He blessed me this morning, and He'll bless me this evening, and He'll bless me tomorrow, and He'll bless me the next day, and He'll bless me all the days of my life. If you're in this room today and you realize that you're not living the place where God wants you to live, and the privilege is not coming to you, and good things are not happening. One of my friends said to me, and he said it to me before, he said, Brother Stevie, I've never seen nobody like you. If you fell backwards, you'd fall in a pot full of money. But that's not true, because Tim Story preached here 30 years ago, and I never forgot it. He said, every time I fall, I always fall forward and pick up a few yards. I never fall back. I always fall forward. Even in my falling, I gain ground. Everything I touch, praise God, He said He will prosper. Everything my hand touches, He will prosper. The Lord is on my side. Oh, hallelujah. He calls me son, and I call Him Abba, Father. Hallelujah. And you got to get up every morning believing that and confessing that. Can you call the devil a liar to his face every day when he says you're going to be fired and not have a job? When he says you're going to be sick and not get well? When he says your children are lost and are going to go to hell? Can you say, devil, you're the liar and the father of all liars? But praise God, I've been embodied with the truth of Jesus Christ. I claim my children saved. I claim my bank account proficient and abundant. I claim my body healed. I claim my business successful. I claim my friends going to the kingdom of God. I claim because of who I am. Hallelujah! 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 Somebody today needs to get off the back seat and move to the front seat. Somebody needs to move out of the land of defeat and come to victory in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're in this room right now and you've got a need in your life, The Bible said he would supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you need to be saved, this altar is yours. If you need to be healed, this altar is yours. If you need your family to be reconciled, this altar is yours. If you need your daughter saved, your son saved, this altar is yours. If you need the Holy Ghost, this altar is yours. If you need a healing, this altar is yours. If you need a job, this altar is yours. If you need money, this altar is yours. If you don't know who you are, nobody else is going to recognize who you are. But friend, when you know who you are, there'll be an aura around you that everybody, Michelle, bless her heart, I think about her every day. She's in heaven now, and there's no need to be sad for her, except I just miss her. But she used to say, Pastor, I've never seen anybody where people want to do good things for them as much as you. That's because I know who I am, and I don't have to tell them. There's just an aura about them. I sold up a branch the other day to a lady, and she said she had a 16-year-old boy with her, a handsome kid, a 13-year-old boy, and he's over 6 feet tall. And she said, you made quite an impression on my son. Said, I never met anybody like that before, Mom. I didn't condemn him. I didn't tell him he was going to hell. He just felt something flowing from me. I know who I am. Praise God. I'm blood privileged, Michael. I'm blood privileged. You're blood privileged. You're blood privileged. Oh, you talk about plead the blood. Not once a day, about every 20 minutes, every time I make a phone call, every time I got to meet somebody, every time I got a situation to deal with, I plead the blood. What does that mean? I'm blood privileged. I'm blood privileged. This door's got to open. This door's got to open. This answer's got to be yes. They've got to rule in my favor. Hallelujah. If you're in this audience today and you have any need at all, I want you to come, and I'm going to believe that.